My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents the Grand Canyon State's 4th Congressional District, and he's also a member of both the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee as well as the Natural Resources Committee. He joins me today to talk about his strong opposition to the omnibus bill that would fund the federal government through the rest of fiscal year 2016. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Greg.
You put out a Facebook message to all of your constituents, and you minced no words here. You say that it's silly that people have to read this massive bill in just a short period of time before voting on this. You say that essentially Congress being controlled by Republicans doesn't look a whole lot different than it did when Democrats controlled it. Overall, let's start with the process. What frustrates you most?
Well, I think, Greg, when you first had, bills coming forward that had riders included in the base language from both sides that were immediately taken out, from this omnibus, so they had bipartisan vote and support and had passed, and yet they were removed right out of the policy. Something's wrong with that statement. And that makes it very, very clear that there was something up in this application. Because, like I said on my post, the Republicans control the House and Senate, and yet this bill is very much a Democratic bill.
So, is it a matter of poor negotiating? Is it a matter of resolve? What do you believe is the reason it turned out this way?
I would say that there were some as I said before, there was a lot of manure in the barn that was left to the Speaker. But I'm also questioning, the resolve in negotiating here. The Speaker had made comment that extending the 1 week gave him some leverage. And now I'm looking at it and I was wondering, is it the leverage for us or leverage for the Democrats? Because this is a horrible bill if you're talking about Western states, in which I'm one of them. It totally destroys the coal industry. It sells its soul for oil, for big oil, but turns over all regulations in nexus to the federal government in regards to environmental control, which is water in this case. And that controls all of this. So it shuts down coal. It will actually provide a federal nexus to eliminate federal lands producing oil and gas because of fracking, and the implication on state and federal or state and private land to the implications on federal land will shut it all down. So you get a senseless little passe type of rule to export oil, and yet you're not going to have anything in the pipelines. I find this interesting as all get out, and yet you provide jurisdiction for programs like the Land and Water Conservation Fund that was in the process of going through authorization. I sit on the authorizing committee, which is resources, and it needs reform because the federal government is just buying up land right and left, and some people may say that's great, but you haven't taken care of the land you already got, nor have you compensated Western states, who have to take care of it and don't have a tax base for it. So, once again, it just trampled all over Western states' jurisdiction, the energy sector, and gets very little in return.
Let's follow up on that a little bit, because I know you've been with us before talking about the Waters of the United States rule. That's now fully funded along with the Clean Power Plan that relates to carbon emissions and ozone. It also funds the new climate fund that came out of the Paris deal that was announced just a few days ago. So talk about the impact of that as a whole and why you don't think there was a bigger fight there.
Well, they're hoping that the lawsuits that are in federal court currently in MOTUS, are going to stand up. You've seen this administration; they will appeal it over and over again, and they will put those in implications right in place. I mean, in the waters of the U.S., boy, they defy four Supreme Court rulings, defying that they can't even go here in the first place, Greg. And so, this administration is not going to turn this around. And so this is horrendous. So when we say that we were going to stop all applications, in regards to the agreement that came out of Paris that would have no consensual support here without having treaty applications go make sure that it was passed through the Senate, they actually got more than they even asked for even in that. And now you're going to have rules and regulations that are promulgated like you see in California, where you're going to have energy prices or an energy that can't even be generated utilizing oil, gas, and coal. People wake up. This is just poorly done.
EPA getting nearly $718 million above the House-passed bill in this omnibus bill. Congressman, let's talk a little bit.
And Greg, there's another point there. This goes to an agency that has defied the rulemaking and has actually lied to Congress and misled Congress. And that's why I actually, you know, put in a bill to impeach Ms. McCarthy. And the reason being is there's science, you know, that the Army Corps of Engineers asked for to define and validate the science they're utilizing in their waters of the U.S., you know, does not exist there. And so we're going to increase their spending? It's just unbelievable. And, I mean, even let's go to the IRS, Greg. You know, so we're going to give them more money so that they can take care of customer service issues. Well, here's what that does. Now what we did is we fully funded them on the customer service that they were having to divert money from everywhere else, so it gives them more money to actually go after customers, you know, taxpayers across the country. This makes no sense.
You also are very upset that the parameters put in place by the Budget Control Act of 2011 have been busted here as well. To what extent and what message does that send?
Well, here's what we end up doing, you know. We're adding additional debt that we can't afford, and there were better ways of doing this. You know, particularly when you start looking at one out of every $5 or $6 is spent in the military, you know, pushing paper called procurement, and that benefits nobody here. Why couldn't we have actually reformed the process that says, listen, to the military, you reform this, you find it, you keep it, you make it in a transparent process where there's accountability, and you keep it, and you spend it however you want. Instead of spending tons of money back into the military, a lot of it is wasted in the procurement process, and having no reforms. When are we going to learn we don't have the money, but we still can have a strong military, reform the process, and not have to send the indebtedness to America's taxpayers and to our future generations to have to compensate? It's ridiculous. You know, it just... It's 50. I think the number I remember is $50 billion higher than the original Budget Control Act levels. I mean, it just keeps on magnifying. I mean, a spending frenzy in Washington D.C. That's why when I have my town halls, I show a picture as I drive in from Reagan Airport, Greg, and I look at all the huge cranes that are building stuff, and you know my people back home look at it and they go, oh wow, there's no deficit. You know, there's no spending accountability in Washington, D.C. We can't do it, but boy, they sure do.
Congressman, a couple of quick questions as we exit here. Number one, given the fact that the White House and Democrats in Congress are already declaring this a win for their priorities, what's the vote going to look like on this? How lopsided is it going to be? How many Republicans do you think are actually going to vote for this thing?
I don't think, Greg. As of just a few moments ago, there was a number of reports that Nancy Pelosi has come forward and said that she can't deliver the necessary Democratic votes, and it's going to have to come from Republicans. And I will tell you, there's no way I can support this omnibus. And I would tend to tell my Republican colleagues, how do you sell this back home? How do you sell them back home? You see what's going on in the presidential race, why outsiders are winning the day. And that's because the constituents across this country feel betrayed, you know, of having accountability, having a say. You know, here's this huge bill that was concocted, and some of the things I brought forward were Western issues with no consultation whatsoever from Western states and those with expertise, none whatsoever. And so it rebuilds and fortifies the narrative that Washington, D.C. isn't listening to America. I know it's frustrating, but you know what? It's our due diligence to understand the problem, the process, and making sure that we represent and are good stewards of the money that the taxpayers send us. That means that we have to be fair about how we go into these negotiations, understanding what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, our strengths and our weaknesses, and do the job. We should be prepared to stay here. We should have looked them in the eye and said, you know what? We didn't get our job done, so guess what? When you want to walk out with all the riders moved, then prepare all your members and staffs to prepare to stay in Washington, D.C. for Christmas. You know, it happened before. You know, I asked Matt Salmon, my good friend, during the Gingrich era, now I believe that they were here on Christmas Eve till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, you have to do the best job that we can. And just throwing something on the paper, on pieces of paper that are thousands of pages long, trillions of dollars in implications, you know, we do nobody any services to run home.
Congressman, last question. I know you've heard this argument before, but it goes back to the Gingrich era and that shutdown and what happened in 2013. The argument from Republicans who would want to move something like this, whether it's the leadership or others, would say that if we don't find a way to find something that's acceptable to the president, he's willing to burn the thing down. And no matter how the circumstances are arranged, Republicans will get blamed for this. And it's going to be a disaster. And ultimately, you're going to have to agree to something that's almost, if not as bad anyway. So what's your response to that?
You know, that's what everybody said, you know, in 2013 for 2014's outlook. And guess what happened? Republicans, you know, won majorities. So, you know, well, we got to get better at this. And the thing about it is why not utilize the ability of media and having our personality, our persons, to do that walking? How about that we send 3- and 4-day CRs, making sure everybody's here, making sure that we're putting things forward, and start going out and addressing the airways? Greg, like you come to us in regards to listening to our ideas and our thought processes. Why not take a chance? Because what we're doing here is wholesaling, selling out America in this avenue. So until somebody tells me, you know, I'm wrong, how about we prove it? Prove me wrong. You know, stay here. Make the president veto something, saying, okay, here's a 3-day or a 5-day CR. Here you go. Now veto it because you're the one. And then how about we Christmas carol outside the White House with a big Santa stocking and keep putting coal and sticks in it? You know, there's a lot of things that we could be doing here, and it's ridiculous that we wouldn't do it.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Hey, thanks so much, Greg.
Absolutely. Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Oversight and Natural Resource Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.